so it's 6:02. I'm going to call the July Mystery Patrol Board meeting for the Mountain Regional Water Special Services District to order. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay, item two, do we need to go into executive session?
We are going to go into executive tonight.
Do we have a motion and a second?
I move to go into executive session.
I'll second that.
So that's, 1 second, I gotta get it. So that was Karen and Ian?
Yep.
Okay. Do we need a minute to change the recorder?
Yep, I am. Do you want to do all in favor and then I'll switch it?
Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I think that was.
All right, welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, we're on item three of our agenda. Tonight is the consent portion, where we have the minutes, the check register, a PO. I'm not sure if there's anything else. So were there any comments on the minutes? Okay, I did have a chance to look all of this over this week, and I didn't have any comments there either. It's kind of interesting looking back. Okay, so that sounds all fine. How about the check register? Do we have any questions there?
I had a question about the window.
The window?
The $11,654 window. I think you deserve it. I just, like, I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, I finally have a window in my office, so that's what that check was written for. And I'm very thankful for it.
And we lease that building, is that correct?
We own this side. We lease the operation side.
Okay. So we didn't need to get permission or anything for the window. That was easy.
Yeah, we ran it through the HOA, but they didn't have any, you know, certainly no pushback. And it was budgeted as part of, we had office improvements in our capital budget this year. I think we had $25K budgeted.
Well, I think that's a nice addition because I've been in there a few times and it seems kind of dark. So I'm glad that happened. Okay, so anything else on the check register?
Nope.
Okay. I would not. Where primarily do we do weed control?
Chris, do you want to cover that?
Yeah, Ian, the weed control is done on most of the long access roads to the sites to try and help mitigate some of the fire danger of our trucks driving in and out. I would say the majority of our sites we have contracted through that the weed control company that you see on there, Quality Weed Control. They've been doing it for the last 2 years for us.
All right, so we're not buying a product and administering it ourselves. We've got a contractor who's doing that. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, actually, the treatment plant had the equipment to do it, and we didn't do the treatment plant this year with the quality, but we will use them moving forward for that very reason, that we don't want to deal with the chemicals and the restrictions and stuff, that they have all the PPE and all the appropriate permits, so.
Yeah, I would support that from a safety perspective, MSDSs, all that. So, yeah, good call.
Okay. Anything else on the check register? Okay, so it sounds like we're getting a new generator.
Yep, that's up at the treatment plant, Mike. Currently, we have a small generator that would not, I don't know the size or what it could fully run, but the generator we're purchasing could run the treatment plant. Chris, remind me, pretty near capacity, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close. We wouldn't be able to run, say, like the belt press while we're running all the skids, but that's not normally the case anyway. And, you know, once we get the generator installed, we'll be able to actually test the total limits there. But it's most of the plant.
Why did you guys go with the smaller fuel tank?
Because we happen to have a 2,000-gallon tank that sits right adjacent to where we want to put this one. And we want to keep the fuel fresher for the generator.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. And so I did look through this, and I was looking at the form that Steve, you prepared it, and it's this box 7 that's checked, and it says it's being purchased under the state contract, thus other bids are not required.
Yeah, the state sets up special pricing with certain vendors that's discounted, and then we go in and just buy from that. That's how we buy our vehicles and other things as well under the state contract, because it's the way to get things the cheapest.
Okay. And so that's why there isn't a summary of bids form. We didn't have any other bids.
Right.
Okay.
So there was an 8% reduction in price or something like that. What was behind that, Steve?
I'm sorry, well, I couldn't quite hear you.
Well, it looks like they shaved off what amounts to about 8% on the price.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the smaller fuel tank.
Oh, yep. Okay.
There's also a consistency. It's not an issue, but, you know, we buy the same generators for all of our sites, so we've got consistency.
Okay.
Do we require dual containment for all of our fuel cells with the generators?
That's actually mandated for the generator manufacturers. They are all dual wall.
Okay. So we don't need to put in a new sump or anything. We're replacing it.
Nope. The tanks are built that way.
Cool.
Okay. Sounds like that. You know what, though? Was this budgeted a little later in the year? Did we move it up? For some reason, I thought this was going to come later.
This was actually budgeted last year that carried over to this year. We intended to make this purchase last year, but we didn't. We needed to get the pad done up there, and so it ended up getting pushed to 2020.
Okay. Very good. So are there any other comments on the consent agenda? Okay, I think we're ready for a motion and a second on that one.
So moved.
Second.
So that's Bob and Tim. All those in favor? Aye.
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 I think Bob was in there.
Okay.
That was unanimous. Lisa, do you just want to send that over to me tomorrow?
Yep, I'll send it over in the morning.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay.
So, item 4, department updates. Tim, do you want to lead us off Did you have any questions there?
Yep, I'm here, Bob.
Is there any way you can put those up?
I sure can.
I've got it. When I changed computers, I had it on my other computer and toggled back and forth. I'm afraid I'm going to lose you.
Yep, no worries. Would you like me to run through them one by one, or Bob, is there a specific one you'd like to refer to?
On Marty's, I wanted to ask if going forward for those first groups, I guess.
Yeah.
Could you put year to date on there? So we just have some idea of the scale of the numbers without having to go back and look it all up every month.
Absolutely.
You know, like customer title transfers, I don't know if 32 seems like that's what we've been doing, but if we had a year-to-date number, we'd sort of have an idea where that was.
Yep, we could get you some context on that.
Okay. And I did have a question on the certification of liens as to how is that working with our sort of go easy policy around COVID?
So what we did, Bob, is that typically any delinquent accounts through, Marty, you can help me here, right up until when the liens are certified, when the packet's due for counsel, so the week before they'd be certified by counsel, we would include. This year, what we did is we only included those that were delinquent through the end of February, which was before the pandemic started.
Great.
So essentially next year what we'll see is we can expect, I would think, a higher balance just because we're including an additional 2.5 months or so.
Okay.
Just to mention, the number that we did end up going to council with was right about 40,000 or just above 40,000. So I think it might have come down a little bit from when we originally presented it. And that's not far off from what we, you know, see in a normal year. So we kind of redrafted a 90-day delinquent letter this week. And there are 32 customers at this point that are 90 days past due, but the number isn't quite as large as I had anticipated. So we'll be sending out a letter tomorrow just notifying them that they are delinquent. We are starting up our late with the July billing. If people aren't current, then the late fees will start applying. We're going to start tracking that a little bit closer and trying to get in contact with customers. And, you know, we're offering payment arrangements if that's the case. So just trying to stay a little bit on top of that in light of the situation that we're in.
Okay. Thank you. I think that was all I had on that one.
A quick request of our attendees. I'm not sure who's dialing in from the office phone, but if you could please mute your phone, that'd be great. I can maybe do it from here. All right, there we go.
I think I had a question on Chris's.
So here's Chris's report, Bob.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm good on that one.
Okay.
Hey, you know how we're kind of doing this tonight? Why don't we just do it the other way and we'll just go by report? Does anybody else have questions on Chris's report while we have it up?
I had a question on the flow meter on that one. I was wondering how long it was out and if not having that measurement impacts any of our predictions or models that we have associated with the plant.
Ian, you're talking about the treatment plant meter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's been out for a long time. Matter of probably a year, over a year now, due to cables and so forth. It was hard to get some parts. We were trying to troubleshoot it, and it just took a lot longer than we had anticipated. Waiting for a test meter from the vendor and so forth. It doesn't impact any of the overall numbers. When we lost that meter, we started that meter is actually what would be the effluent total out of the plant. And it's a large pipe with a strap-on meter, which is not necessarily the most accurate use for that. And we ended up going with the skid meters and actually doing a composite and adding all the individual skid meters up. So smaller flows, less distortion. And we think we actually have a better number that way anyway right now. So it's sort of now we have a backup to that.
Okay. That sounds good. And it's good to know you guys are on top of it and knew when it went out. So thanks.
Yep.
Okay.
You ready for a new report, Mike?
Sure.
All right, so we stepped through Marty's and Chris's. You can go to my report.
I was wondering, Scott, if the county had anything interesting with their budget expectations moving forward. If they had any insights there?
The insights are that it's going to be really challenging for them. I don't think they know yet what the full impact of the pandemic is going to be. The council has directed Tom to do everything he can to retain the staff that he has. I know he's concerned about his ability to do that, particularly as we get into the 2021 year.
Okay.
What? Yeah. Why is that?
Due to a sales tax revenue dropping, I believe, is the biggest impact to their budget.
Oh, so he's reacting to revenues.
Yep.
Right. I heard on the radio is, you know, sort of that 30% range.
Yeah, that's likely true, Mike.
Okay.
I had a question on where we are on the sustainability thing.
Where we're at is that the most recent numbers I've heard from Lisa Yoder, it may come down a couple cents. But aside from that, I don't have any further update. Before the meeting started tonight, Mike was talking about that it'd be a good topic to discuss with the smaller council group on Monday. Bob, just for everybody's understanding, I've invited Bob and Mike as chair and vice chair to attend another one of these smaller leadership meetings with two members of council and Tom Fisher. I'm not sure if Dave will be in attendance of that meeting as well. They reached out, Annette reached out this week. Annette's the administrative assistant at the county, requested that we get together, that it's been a while. It seemed as though she was trying to schedule it fairly quickly. My takeaway from that is that council saw the agenda for the work session next week and was anxious to sit down with our leadership before next Wednesday. And also of note is that Chris Robinson was on the attendee list as opposed to the vice chair of council, who would be Glenn Wright. So, you know, stay tuned. That was going to be one of my updates. But we've got that meeting scheduled Monday morning at 10 a.m. and we can further discuss sustainability as part of that.
Okay. Is there anything really for the board in all this wildfire mitigation, watershed protection, that kind of stuff?
No. I just want you to be aware that we are active stakeholders in some of these discussions and in some of these efforts. Wildfire protection of the Weber River watershed is really important to us due to the intake being downstream of that canyon. So I've been working with the Forest Service, with Utah State University, with Summit County and other stakeholders, just to highlight the importance of the intake structure and of the watershed.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Anything else in my report? If not, I'll move on.
Sounds good.
All right, finance. Any questions for Lisa or Steve?
None from me.
I was just going to say, I have a few slides. We had a, you know, the end of the month fell in the middle of the week last week with a holiday on Friday, so we didn't get billing out until this Monday. So we've just been working this week on getting June close completed. But I have a few preliminary slides I can show you if you'd like to, you know, see where we are with June.
Hey, Lisa, I did have a question. When we have a leakage adjustment,
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty, is that so minor that we just reverse it out of revenue? We don't try to set up an ongoing provision knowing that we're going to have a certain amount all the time? And
correct. We just do it in the month that it happens. They aren't large enough to make a big difference, and it's getting better as we have the Badger meters now because the leaks aren't going on as long. So it's just not significant enough or material enough to try to quantify.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure. Let me pull this over here. Okay, I have the wrong one.
Looks like a nice spot wherever it is.
Okay, I don't even know. I lost my controls here. Okay, sorry. Why can't I pull this up? Okay, I must have the wrong thing on. Okay, I'm sharing, but I'm not seeing anything. What are you guys seeing? A picture?
Just your desktop.
Camping site, Lisa. Your camping slide with the stars.
Okay, I don't see anything except you guys. And I don't have that little, how do I get the thing at the bottom to?
To the top. If you kind of go to the top of your screen and try to scroll down, sometimes it kind of hides up there, I think.
Okay. Somehow I've.
No.
Let me do a new share. Hold on a second. Wow, it's because I've got my two screens here. So, okay, let's go here. I'm going to stop and start again. Can you see it now?
I can see you.
Can you see me? I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. Usually this is seamless. It must be the way my my monitors are set up.
It's not showing sharing right now.
Yeah, nothing shared at the moment. At least we have all the videos.
Well, why don't you just give us the highlights?
Okay, I'll give you the highlights. I have no idea what's going on.
Wait, you're sharing again.
Am I sharing? Yeah, what can you see?
We're seeing the graph
with a bunch of lines going up.
Okay, good. So you can see my graph now. It's just on the screen I wanted on.
Oh, we could see that one earlier.
Can you see it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, retail water sales.
I'm sorry. It's just a different. It's fine. I've got two screens going. You on one and this on the other. So you can see the blue or the purple line here is 2020. So you can see we are about 1.1 million. This is just retail water sales for June. This is kind of plotted over the month. You've seen this before. But you can see as compared to this green line of 2019, we're almost twice as high in retail water sales compared to last year. And we're just slightly above where we were in 2018 and 2017, 2018 being our record year. So, this is a good sign. This is kind of interesting here. You see our May 2020 is essentially what our June 2019 was last year. So last year, we know, was really wet. So so retail water sales are good. Just click over quickly to the June. This is just June compared to budget. So we had budgeted 1.48 and we came in at 1.59, almost 1.6 million, 166,000 over budget, primarily related to this residential component and irrigation golf. you know, we kind of expected that. It was a pretty hot month. We're still under slightly on commercial and on government, but this difference and this variance is getting better than last month, excuse me. So we, you know, we're doing well. We're just need to continue to watch our cash collections, but our revenue is there. This is just the overall summary of where we are right now preliminarily. You'll see our overall favorable variance to budget is just over $670,000, primarily related to revenue. Those retail water sales that we've seen high in the beginning of the year, just more usage with that community water coming on. And then again, with these two hot months we've had this last 2 months compared to what we had forecasted, which is generally just an average. Expenses are right, you know, we're running right on budget. We're $192,000 favorable at this point, about 3.8%. This will fluctuate a little bit. We had quite a few expenses come through in June, repairs and maintenance. I mean, we're putting through a lot of water, and so we've had some repairs on our system. This will probably come down, I'd imagine, and be a little bit closer to budget as we move through summer. Compared to last year, we're almost $1 million above revenue. Again, that's just really being driven by water sales. And expenses were up about 5.8% from last year. We generally, you know, trend our models on a 4 to 6% increase. So we're right where we anticipated. Usage really quickly. This is the chart you're used to seeing. You can see this is just for June, this top graph. We are 41% above our 4-year average. Like we saw, you know, use twice as much water as we did last year and closer to this 2018 year. Promontory is back to a more normal summer pattern. And Park City is taking quite a bit of water right now. They started up last month and are continuing to take a significant amount. So that shortage that we kind of saw in the beginning of the year, I think they're going to make up for that the rest of the year. Summit Water only had a little bit in June. Summit Water year to date, you can see they're right at 550, almost 550. So they're right at half. They're a lot of their acre feet year to date. They'll take the other 550 the rest of the year. This Park City variance should go down, and Promontory is, you know, ahead of where they are year to date typically, just because we had two hot months in a row. The Mountain Regional Water customers, again, holding it at above 40% from our 4-year average. So that's just a quick snapshot. We'll have a more detailed and thorough report for July. We'll have enough time to do a more than just a 2 or 3 page summary. We'll do a full report in July and have that to you. And we'll see how July shakes up. That's it.
If the trends can continue, do we have any capacity constraint issues?
Not at this time, Bob. From a source production standpoint, we do not have any capacity constraints at this time.
Okay.
I did want to mention one other thing, impact fees. We've been talking about those being down. We're $268,000 in impact fees, and we're halfway through the year. So, we're technically on budget, but, you know, far lower than what we've seen typically at this time of the year. So, if we can get, you know, another 100,000 or so, but that's going to be probably the area where we will see, we'll come in under budget there.
And some of that, there were a lot of prepaids that went to the impact fees.
Yep. There are a lot of, we've known those have been coming. Silver Creek behind us all has, you know, it's all using prepaids. We just haven't seen the volume that we typically have. And we've talked about some other projects potentially coming on, the Ascent Hotel and the affordable housing over at the Canyons, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, we need a few more impact fees. Promontory has been coming in, but those are smaller. And there are some Colony out there that we may pick up this year. It's just, we'll just have to see.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob, we're picking up some feedback on your mic, just so you know. Anything else for Lisa? If not, I can share my screen and move on and catch these last couple reports.
Yeah, moving on.
All right. All right, any questions for Sam on his report?
What is the BPS upgrade for Glen Wild?
BPS is Booster Pump Station. Sorry, Karen, another acronym.
Yeah, there you go. So that's an internal project we've got going for the Glen Wild Booster Pump Station. That's part of the North Ridge section of the system where we have those subdivisions and tanks stacked on one another, and we're heading up against our ceiling and capacity through that which pump station, so that's kind of a potential choke point for the whole North Ridge. We're scheduled to tackle that internally maybe as soon as late October. We missed our window before our peak use time in the spring here, but it's all designed and yeah, we're planning on it. So that's the booster pump station upgrade project.
Thanks, Sam.
Sure.
The only comment I had on Sam's was a thank you for including a photo. I think I can speak for most of the board. We haven't had an opportunity to go to a lot of the sites within the Mountain Regional Network, so it's awesome to have a little visual context for some of these. So I would, yeah, fully support and welcome photos being put in anytime. And yeah, thank you very much.
And speaking of the photo, what am I looking at? Obviously, water flowing over what looks like a hole in the...
That's a fair question. Yeah, so that, not a ton of context there. So that is the Willow Draw above the community water system, the water system we absorbed in recent years. I've been up there evaluating flow and taking some basic water quality measurements, kind of evaluating the Willow Draw as a potential surface water source, probably just during the peaking months. So currently we've been getting about 300 gallons a minute coming out of a diversion structure that was previously used to supply the treatment plant at Community Water when they were running a surface water treatment plant.
So is the water running into this concrete abutment, like from streams and that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's just a natural drainage. The Willow Draw goes all the way up to the Park City Ridgeline, I suppose.
Right.
Kind of has
right.
Two main forks back there. One of them is producing a lot more water than the other.
And then it's flowing back into that galvanized pipe or whatever kind of pipe it is?
Yeah. So upstream of that, it collects in that diversion structure. And yeah, the intent there in the past, I think, again, was to enclose it and send it to the treatment plant. We've been using it more recently, as you can see, spilling over to kind of try to evaluate the flow. Using the existing concrete structure to try and put a number on or quantify how much water we got coming through. So we'll trend that the rest of the year. And, I think flow throughout the rest of our peak season is really going to determine whether it makes sense to try and utilize the source or not. But of course, right now we're getting great flow, and it's still kind of the tail end of runoff season.
Yep, great. Thank you.
Anything else in the engineering report? If not, Sam's going to do a brief update here in a minute, so we'll move on and see where we're at here. We've got, I believe, Brian's report's the last one. Any questions on the operations side?
I'm wondering if Sam is going to go into what we're doing to optimize the Signal Hill plant.
He is. Yeah, he'll touch on that in just a few minutes.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, Brian's is always pretty concise. That's pretty easy. What about Marty's? Did we catch that one?
Yeah, we touched on that. That's the one that Bob had asked for some year-to-date context on that table.
Okay. So, well, so I think that takes us through item four. Were there any other questions on the department update? Okay, it doesn't sound like it. Item five, human resources and Lisa Hoffman.
Yeah, so we have two job descriptions in the packet for your approval. These aren't for newly created positions, but more of an update due to some retirements that we have, with Kathy retiring last month and Marty's coming up shortly. We needed to staff those appropriately, and both of these have been run through Brian Bellamy, and they've received his approval. The first one, the customer service specialist, this person will basically support Anna. It will be a full-time position Monday through Friday, and this person will really focus on helping answer phones, customer questions, helping with service orders that we need to get the operators out to. Mail, kind of act as a receptionist. If someone comes in the door, they'll basically be sitting up front with Anna and backing her up. The other position is a full-time accountant position. This had been a part-time position in the past. Kathy's departure and taking on some more roles that I have been with the customer service department, we feel like this is the time to have a full-time accountant in there that can help support Steve with accounts payable function, which Kathy was doing. The cash receipting that has now come up from customer service, it's now being handled in the finance department. Also help with our month-end close and getting billing completed, getting all of our month-end journals and reports done. And then obviously with the audit, they would be a support. So we're looking to kind of fill that with a full-time person. We're looking for a person who has a bachelor's degree with a little bit of experience. We don't need extensive experience, but a couple years in an accounts payable or general accounting role would be ideal. So those are the two job descriptions we have. Are there any questions on either of them?
My only question was just understanding the pay grades. I'm not familiar with the 10 and 13. Like, what kind of dollars are we talking about?
Yep. So a pay grade 10 starts at 40,000, and the midpoint is right around 49 and goes up to 57. So it's got almost a $20,000 range in there. When we hire someone in, it's generally going to be on the lower end of that pay scale. So right around 40, that's about $20 an hour.
So they'd be better off being a teacher in the Park City school system
than coming here.
Than coming to work for us, yep. Work full year, $10,000 less starting salary, right?
I don't know what the Park City school district's paying.
Well, they pay a minimum of 50, even for new people. So,
if that's for teachers, though, they have to either have a teaching certificate or go through the alternative licensure program. That's not
easy. But for most people, that's part of their, undergraduate degree. If you're, taking a teaching degree, I'm just saying, a freshly minted, no experienced teacher in Park City makes $50,000, and we're talking about a two-year graduate accounting making 40.
No. Sorry.
We're talking about the pay grade 10, Bob.
The customer service.
Is the customer service specialist.
Okay.
that's a high school, a high school degree with maybe a year or two. It's a pretty entry level position.
Okay. All right. I was staying corrected. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, Lisa, would this person handle the social media side of things?
That's something we've talked about. Anna now is helping us with the social media piece. So as that person gets up to speed, if we feel like it's a good fit, then yes, we could transition that over to this.
So Anna has that. You know what I did is I looked at Marty's report, and then I kind of compared it to these two job descriptions and tried to, see how those meshed. Because then, does the accountant position cover the lien certificates, work orders, water leaks, meter change out, billing issues, customer confidence reports?
Marty works with finance to do the lien report, so that will come up to finance. We can do that. The search orders, yes, that's all done down in Anna's department. Meter change outs. I mean, Anna really is managing that process and would be going forward.
Yeah. So then this accounting position really supports Anna then?
It supports Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the customer service specialist is a supporting role to Anna in customer service, and the accountant position is a supporting role to Steve in financial management.
Yeah. Okay. And then we're just going to kind of blend Marty's responsibilities between really this public services and finance.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. That's all I had.
And then Lisa, do you want to hit on the salary for grade 13 to answer Ian's question?
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, grade 13 starts at $49,000. So that would be similar to what Bob was saying, a $50,000 teacher. We're asking for a bachelor's degree and a year or two of experience. The midpoint there is at $58,000. The high end is $68,000.
Thanks, Lisa.
Welcome.
Okay, do we have any other questions?
Yeah. Do we need to make a motion to approve these, or?
You do, yes.
I move that we approve both new positions.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
That's Karen and Ian. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, that was unanimous for the approval of both of those positions and their descriptions.
Thank you.
Item six. Item six on our agenda is engineering staff update by Sam Grenley.
Yeah, so I wanted to introduce Sam, give him a chance to introduce himself to the board, and give a brief update to the board. Sam's hit the ground running, has immediately added value, and I think we're extremely lucky to have him. So, so Sam, why don't you take it away?
Sure. Yeah. Just a little bit about my background. I'll keep it brief. Yeah, I've lived here in Utah since about 2003, went to school at the U. I met Mike Kobe, actually, when I was probably 21 or something at a job fair at the University of Utah, and got my foot in the door with Stamtech Consulting at the time, which was an incredible stroke of luck for myself. So I was in the consulting world for about 10 years, working on water, environmental, and general civil projects. And then the last closer to 4 years ago, moved over to the public sector at drinking water, division of drinking water. So I also know Julie really well. We kind of switched spots. But yeah, I'm super excited to have a chance here at Mountain Regional. I've really enjoyed the work so far. And I don't know, it's nice to meet everyone virtually, I guess, if nothing else. So that's about me. And then the current projects we got going on, we've got a full slate, which is exciting. We talked about the Glenwild booster pump station already and about the new generator going on at the treatment plant. We've got some additional waterline work happening this fall out at the Willow Creek and Cove water lines. Those have been bid out, and we're getting about ready to issue a notice to proceed on that. So that'll phase in nicely with our other waterline work. We have wrapped up the water portion in our Summit Park projects, and Brian and other operations folks have given really good feedback on the quality there, especially with relocating meters and tricky landscaping areas, which is kind of a tall order. So that's a positive report also. Our Hidden Creek project, you know, bringing community water up to speed and making that more manageable from an operations perspective has started. We kicked that off with the pre-construction meeting, and we're excited to get that going. That includes some water system looping, some new water line, and a new PRV station for some more flexibility there. The Silver Creek well that we've drilled, we're still making progress on equipping that. We've got revisions over to our consultant who's drawing everything up, Aqua Engineering, and then we'll get started on the regulatory approval shortly thereafter when those revisions get taken care of.
How is the flow working out on that?
That's a bit of a sore subject. Scott, can you recall the safe yield off the top of your head, 50-something GPM that we've gotten out of the Silver Creek well, 16.
Yeah, 60 gallons a minute, Sam. So that's the same number, Bob. That number hasn't changed since, you know, the final report following the drilling process.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, it'll likely just be a peaking source. We're equipping that with onto the existing tank and pump station there, and it'll just fill into the new Silver Creek tank during those peak months when we need to use it. One last thing I did want to wrap up is our pigging project from earlier in the year. I was planning on running some numbers using July data, comparing this July to last, but Chris actually pointed out earlier in the week that it looks like he's already seen an improvement in flow rates coming out of the Lost Canyon pump station. So that's really exciting news. It's a pretty, I don't know, low cost overall compared to everything that goes in that pump station. So if we see some efficiency gains there, that'll be a great project for the district too.
Was Brian mentioning in one of the previous meetings that they're maybe going to think about pigging more often or more extensively throughout the district? Is this something that's opened your eyes and, you know, maybe it's going to be a tool we employ a little more often moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been discussing that a lot. So just on paper, Scott's pointed out that I think with our agreement with Park City, we should be pigging at least the Lost Canyon line annually. And I think, again, we haven't fully dug into it, but I think it's more than going to pay for itself just from an energy cost perspective. So that's exciting. Water quality through the transmission line, we've looked into a little bit and haven't seen anything that sticks out, which is good, actually, because I was concerned with the pigging effort, putting a lot more organics into our pond ahead of the treatment plant and that potentially being an operational challenge there. But we actually saw those levels kind of stay consistent with other spring runoff periods. So, yeah, I think we are going to end up pigging the line on a more regular basis. As far as expanding that throughout the district, we haven't really had those discussions, but that Lost Canyon transmission line is kind of its own beast, I suppose. So that's the update there.
Thank you. That's great.
Sam, do you want to touch on the Signa Hill improvements?
Yeah, so that's the main thing I want to chat about. That's kind of the most exciting thing we've had going on from my perspective. We recently replaced the modules or membranes on two out of the four skids up at the plant. We had Paul's staff. Paul is our supplier for the membranes on hand, and the operations of plant folks were super efficient and were able to do the whole changeout in just about a day. So we had the rest of the week to troubleshoot and work on optimization efforts up at the plant with Paul folks, one actually on site with us, and we had a second process engineer remotely hooked into our SCADA system, thanks to Chris, and kind of be able to keep an eye on things. We were really impressed with how engaged the folks from Paul were. They were really in constant communication with one another, and there was a lot of progress that happened. The day following the membrane replacement, we were able to diagnose an issue where when we'd ramp up the skids above, say, 600 gallons per minute, we'd run into a hard ceiling where the membranes would shut off in order to preserve their integrity at a threshold, at a pressure threshold. The plant staff has always kind of had an idea where that's coming from, but you know, with the Paul folks here, they were able to kind of diagnose that, and we've made a lot of progress there. And we've even seen Flow's been able to ramp up all the way from that 600 number on most skids, operating between 700 and 800 gallons per minute. So that's a lot of extra water to pull out of the treatment plant and a week's worth of work. So that's just, I don't know, it's great work by the plant staff, all the operations folks, and it really ties into kind of some of the long-term goals and vision of the district, where we can maybe potentially tax our groundwater resources a little bit less. It also affects Scott's projections. For context, since these improvements, I think we've bumped net filtrate, so flow out of the plant, up to around 2,600 gallons per minute when it's cranking. And I think Scott's projections currently had around 2,000 gallons per minute. So that's over a 20% increase in a very short amount of time. There are some other small operational changes the Paul folks suggested, and we're working through those. Those kind of have to do with recipes used during backwash and cleaning procedures. But we expect a full write-up and recommendations from the Paul folks, and permanently integrating a lot of these into our standard operating procedures moving forward. So that's the work up at the plant, and there's more to come too. We've got Jacobs Engineering, another process engineering consultant, on tap to kind of fill in after this effort is done. So should be more good things coming from the plant this year.
Hey, Sam, something's been troubling me. If we pig the line and we pushed a lot of, I think your word for it was organics out of the line, and it didn't show up in the settling pond, where did it go?
Well, that's a great question. I think the main thing that saved us from really loading the plant are two things. One, we did ramp operations down immediately following the pigging effort. I think that was a safe, conservative thing to do by the operations folks. But secondly, the district has recently realigned the intake into the plant and the inlet from Lost Canyon booster. So we're essentially using the length of the Signal Hill pond as a pre-treatment step almost, and that's been really effective in settling out, you know, potential problems from spring runoff that we see in the Weber, or even, you know, like an acute effort like this pigging project that we saw. So I think that's probably what saved us. There's certainly more sediment that ended up in the pond, as you pointed out, as a result. It's just we've been able to control the rate at which it's entering the treatment plant, if that makes sense.
And so eventually we have to dredge that pond effectively?
I suppose that's a good question. Scott, is there a schedule or any past work done on draining and cleaning the pond periodically?
Yes, yeah, Sam. So we actually did that this year for the first time, I think the first time ever. I know there's been previous maintenance done on the pond due to leaks and things like that, but we drained the pond, Bob, this spring, and pulled a number of dump truck loads of sediment out. It was sort of all combined into this this kind of greater plan of dredging, pigging, and then we'll investigate dredging again in the future. That seemed to go really well. It wasn't nearly as difficult as what we thought. We rented some equipment. We performed that in-house, and things really wrapped up nicely. So I could see us doing that again in the future as needed. But, we pulled a fair bit of material out, but it had 15 years of use on it. So anyway, I don't know how often we'll do it, but it will be an activity that we continue to evaluate as needed.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Sam. That's a really nice report. We appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay, back to our agenda. Item 7 is Dave Thomas. Anything on the legal front tonight, Dave?
No, not offhand.
Dave's my favorite section sometimes.
Yeah, I don't really have much this time. The governor came out with his mask order for public schools.
Right. That's, and then everything else, he's just kind of left it up to the cities and the counties.
He's left it up to the counties, but counties need to get an exception from him, which Summit County got.
Yeah.
So we have a face covering order in effect here. And the governor's face order or face covering order, he just did for public schools. Although, if the numbers don't get down considerably, I would expect that we might see a statewide order in a week.
Yeah. Yeah, those numbers are, they just keep climbing, it seems like. How are things, do you know any of the case counts in Summit County, how they compare to the state?
At first, we were the hot spot. We've had fairly good numbers starting in mid-May into June. Much better numbers in the state. We've had a slight uptick in cases over the last 10 days, but not like the state.
Yeah.
And that's probably because of the face covering order that was put into place here. The places in the state that are the biggest hot spots right now are Cass, Washington County.
Yeah. Well, it just feels like it's getting more and more risky. So, yeah, just everybody just be more and more careful.
It's hard to, and part of the problem that everyone has had, and I know that the health department has had, is getting good data. Because although the fatality rate has gone down, I think it's at like 4.2% now. We don't really know if that's a real number because we don't know how many people have actually had the virus. We know the number that tested positive, but CDC seems to think that there are probably 10 times more that have already had it that didn't get tested. So we continue to deal with incomplete data, but I think people are trying to do the best they can with the data they have, and nobody wants to reclose the economy. And I think at least from the peer-reviewed studies that I've seen from the health department, face coverings actually do have a significant impact on the transmission of this specific kind of coronavirus. Because this kind of coronavirus, it seems to be mostly spread through droplets. And face covering masks, whether they're homemade or not, they prevent the droplets. I think we see some like South Korea who had an immediate mask order. They got over this sooner than everybody else. And they said, we've seen some peer-reviewed studies now that says, yeah, this actually works. It's basically the last method that anyone can think of to do without closing things again, and nobody wants to do that.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, I just encourage everybody to be as safe as you can. There's more of it out there every day. So any questions for Dave? Okay, I'm not hearing any. Item 8, Scott, do you have any general manager comments for us?
Yeah, just a couple brief updates, Mike. I touched on one of them already, which is this meeting that's scheduled for Monday with some council representatives, board representatives, and Tom and I. Second on my list is we do have our work session with council next Wednesday. We're currently on the agenda, I believe, at 4:25 p.m. Those agendas do typically move a bit the week of the meeting. But if you're interested in tuning in, you can pull the agenda down from the county's website and log in to either the Zoom link or they do, I believe it's a Facebook Live opportunity as well. So Steve and I and Fred Philpott from Lewis, Young, Robertson, and Birmingham will present really this similar presentation that we presented to the board. Steve and I did some work on Fred's presentation just to try to improve the flow and provide some background to council, since they're not as intimately involved with this as the board is.
Fred going to present in that work session on Wednesday or Monday?
Wednesday. So Monday is just a roundtable discussion, Mike. For you, Bob, and I from the district, and then Chris and Doug, and from council, Tom Fisher, county manager. Just one of those meetings that you and Karen have attended in the past.
Right, just kind of a chance to visit and see how things are going.
Yep.
Right, and so I'd like to hear from the board if there's any ideas or questions that we could, bring out on Monday. Does anybody have something like that they'd like us to bring up?
It's the Summit Water thing, hopefully that gets resolved now that we have the new report.
Yeah, I think that's definitely on the list to talk about that. One thing I was thinking of mentioning was the Green Power Initiative and those costs and how it's a county initiative, but it feels like a lot of the Mountain Regional ratepayers are really doing that and, or, you know, covering a lot of those costs. Because the, right, it's one of the biggest footprints in the county. And if Park City, Summit Water, they participate a little bit, maybe indirectly through our rate. But I don't know if we want to poke at the council a little bit there or not.
Why not?
Okay. I think we need to, just to so we get our recognition, that our customers get recognized, that they're footing the bill for that.
Right.
So that was one thing I was going to bring up, and then sort of the subsidization, and that, you know, that the study really came back and confirmed with what staff had come up with, that we need to raise that rate up, and otherwise it's about a, you know, this sort of was like a $40,000 deficiency.
It's 20, Mike. It's about 20K a year, 20 to 25. The 40 was looking at some of the other alternatives, but
okay.
Yeah, a couple clarifications. 20 to 25K a year. You know, Park City is participating because the city is. Summit Water, like we talked about, they would only participate as much as they are purchasing water from us or Park City, and those costs would be passed through. You know, so they would be participating at a lesser extent. And then you have the other water utilities. If we're just focused on water, the other smaller companies that they're not required to participate. So there is a, you know, there is some disproportionality, you know, for Mountain Regional customers.
Yeah. And go ahead, Bob.
You had mentioned earlier, Scott, that it looked like the numbers were coming down slightly in terms of cost to us. Is that?
Yeah, Bob, but it's, we're talking, you know, pennies per megawatt hour. It's not going to be significant. It's not going to move that 20K needle much at all.
Okay. That's not good.
So that 20K is for the green power.
Correct. So essentially what it is, just think of it as a surcharge, or, you know, a fee that's layered on top of the current power rate to go green.
So what is the, if we don't raise the rate on the regional water, what impact is that a year to the customers?
I think Fred's summary numbers over a five-year period were 260K, so it's like 50K.
Okay. 260K over 5 years.
And maybe other board members, I'm just wondering whether there's any real benefit to just using the terms that we had, poking at this issue. I don't know if, my sense is that if anybody would have an issue with this, it would actually be the rate payers themselves. And I don't know if we should be in there advocating on behalf of the rate payers, if they in fact don't mind this program. We don't.
Well, polling. That's the issue. Is who knows? You know,
right? I mean, so,
theoretically, the board represents the ratepayers. Doesn't represent the county. Doesn't. Right.
We don't have information from the ratepayers that would indicate that they're opposed to this.
Right. No, we don't. Those sides are true.
Yep.
So I'm just cautioning that if we want to go in there and take a position with whether we're advocating this program or not advocating this program on behalf of the ratepayers, I think we need more information before we go on some kind of an offensive.
I don't necessarily think it's offensive. I think it's just pointing out a fact.
There's kind of these two of them, these two recent events kind of bring this, you know, this issue up. And we've been talking about it, right?
Right. I think kind of, you know, they're different issues, but they're related in a way as to, you know, what costs
our ratepayers are being asked to subsidize.
Yeah. And maybe we could couch that. Hey, you know, we haven't heard directly, you know, from anybody outside the board, but it could be because they, you know, really aren't aware of that it's even out there.
Yeah, I think you could approach it that, you know, we don't have the feedback from the ratepayers, but there is some concern on the board of, you know, the ratepayers paying these additional costs and just bringing it to their attention.
Many of whom may not necessarily be voters in the county, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but they are still, you know, in the broader scope of things, just because you don't vote in the county, if you own property here and you pay water bills, you're a stakeholder, you know?
Any other comments on that topic?
Should we pull the board on opinions?
I'm in support of saving the world, so.
Yeah, let's do a little straw poll there, Scott. Why don't you?
Yeah, because I'm in the same boat with Karen. I wouldn't mind paying it myself. I can't speak for all the ratepayers around me, but I see some of the issues we're facing with water globally. In my opinion, they're related to fossil fuel usage, and I think clean energy is the future. So I think for a more sustainable water management approach globally, this is going to be the approach that's embraced at some point. So is it fair across the county if not everyone's paying it? No, I don't think that's appropriate. But am I okay paying it? Yes.
Yeah. I think that's the... A position. Is that a position we can all agree on?
I mentioned climate change. I don't know if everybody's going to agree on that.
Well, I'm not sure I'm on that team, but that's okay.
We just want to make them, I think it was more of an awareness, not that we object to buying this power, but hey, the ratepayers are doing a lot of paying for a lot of this, right? It's,
yeah.
To get the county this certification, it's coming from the ratepayers. We're not necessarily opposed to it. We just want some acknowledgement there.
Yep, that's a good point, Mike. Are there any other topics for the Monday meeting? So we've got the rate study, we've got the renewable energy program. Are there any other topics that the board would like to see us discuss, or any staff for that matter?
You probably want to talk to Brian Bellamy before you talk about the org chart. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
So just finishing up my update then, Mike. Again, work session with council on Wednesday. That is a purely a rate study discussion in front of the all members of council. That is to update them on this rate study that we've conducted. And Fred will provide his recommendations for our regional water supply rate for the next 5 years. And I'm hopeful that we get support from council that they're behind us to move forward with these rates. We would then move on to scheduling a stakeholder meeting with you know, some representation from council, board, Summit Water, and Weber Basin, and just share the results primarily with Summit Water and Weber Basin at that point. I know Weber Basin's very much in favor of attending a meeting like that. So, Mike, you can expect me to reach out to you following Wednesday as we start to wrap our head around when that will be scheduled.
Right, because we're going to recommend a rate increase.
Yeah, I mean, our recommendation, I believe, from my standpoint, is we're recommending the rates that Fred is recommending, which are an increase to the current rate.
Did we... As a board, did we take that action?
No, you'll take that action as part of the budget process here this fall.
Okay, so we wouldn't really start the rate increase step until after the stakeholder meeting.
Correct, and then it'll just flow into the budget process, and we will approve it as part of that process.
So just letting the stakeholders know we're
contemplating a rate increase. And yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I think it's fair to represent that the board has reviewed the report and the recommendations and is aligned with the recommendations.
Right.
Even though we don't have a rate recommendation at this point per se, right?
Yes.
And maybe so far that we're not pleased we had to step back from our original rate, which was exactly where Phil came in at.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to share.
Yeah.
And then the last point that I had for my update is just that we are due for a conservation plan update this year. Doug Evans is assisting with that. He's authored the previous plans. We've asked him to scrub down the content in previous plans, following, the what's needed to be in the report. I wouldn't expect, we're not rolling out some big conservation push to share some numbers with the board. The state has adopted regional conservation goals, and for the Weber River users, which we would fall into, I believe it's the 2030 conservation goals are to get down to 200 gallons per capita day, which we are currently sitting at 85. So we are far ahead of the regional goals, for our region, even at the 2030 date. So the reality is the low-hanging fruit's gone. What I'd like to see done as part of this plan is just to, at a minimum, update the report and update our website with some of the tools that are out there for our customers. I believe there's grant opportunities if, some of the nicer irrigation timers want to be purchased. There's some other resources with understanding or designing drought-tolerant landscapes. Those are the types of things I think that you can expect to see as part of this update, more just a refresh on what resources are out there. And that is all I have in my report. I'm happy to field any questions.
I just have a comment about the conservation, which is not anti-conservation. Sometimes when you're the leader and you do better than everybody else, you then get tarred with the next brush of reductions, that are that much harder for you to do than are for the people who didn't take the first steps. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to guard against, being pushed into commitments or targets or goals that, aren't necessarily realistic.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be pushed, to try to do better. It's another thing to just get pushed, because it's Park City and they can do more, kind of thing.
Well, and it stands to our history, right? Like, Mountain Regional has been proactive on this front. I mean, compared to other municipal water providers, they can't hold a torch to the efforts that we've done with, buying power off peak and, all the stuff that Doug's done through his career. So I hear what you're saying, Bob. Like, we shouldn't get penalized for that. There should be some acknowledgement that we've already have had massive gains within our system.
Yeah, all the pricing and the tiers,
Yeah. Pricing's been a huge driver.
Okay, well, if there's no other questions or comments. Okay, we'll be adjourned at 7:45 tonight.